We're sort of doing a part two today. Now, last week we focused on Acts chapter 16. We're not going to ask you to turn there, but if you weren't with us, so you may want to turn there, or even if you were, you may want to go back to remind yourself a little bit. And what we did in Acts chapter 16 is we witnessed how God took the division between Paul and Barnabas, these two pillar leaders in the early church, and how God took that division of their vision and multiplied the church. God took what Satan could have used for evil, and God turned it for good. Paul knew this. Paul knew this when he wrote Romans to the Romans, and we find it in Romans 8:28, what she read. We know, not we guess, not, oh, we can surmise or we can debate about it. We know that all things work together for what? For good. For those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, not our purpose, not our will, God's purpose, God's will. Still, regardless of how well the split between Paul and Barnabas actually turned out in the end, let's not be mistaken. This was a red hot issue. This was a barn burner. These two men did not agree. So when Paul selected Silas, and they decided to go off in two different leaderships, he selected Silas, then Paul selected Timothy as his new partners. They became newly adopted co-workers in the midst of the final flows of this fiery opposition. Now, this message may sound like a bit of a repeat, and there are sections we are repeating because we want to go deeper. So we can't go deeper, and especially for those who weren't with us last week, unless we first visit what was on the surface. So Silas was a good partner for Paul, but that's not who we're focusing on, and that isn't the partner we focused on last week. We are focusing on Timothy for today's message. Timothy, who was, according to the commentaries and the authorities, state that he was only around the age of 20. Last week, we learned that Timothy was not only young, but he was respected by the brethren, and he was faithful to the point of allowing himself to be circumcised as an adult. Yet there's more to learn about him today as we journey through these men through the book of Acts. But I want you to really think about Timothy. Here's something we didn't discuss. Timothy has the job of replacing Barnabas. Now, Barnabas was a major leader before Paul came on the scene. And as you recall, it was Barnabas who encouraged the other brethren to accept Paul, correct? As a leader. Barnabas was one of the most influential leaders in the Christian world in his day. Now imagine, what shoe size do you wear, Rick? 12. What shoe size does Riley wear? Okay, so imagine Riley, size 5, trying to fit into his father's shoes, size 12, and be expected to fulfill that same role. Regardless, Paul encourages Timothy, and he counsels him not to be discouraged, and especially not to be discouraged due to him being young. And we see that in 1 Timothy 4:12. even the commentaries say, as we look at our NIV study Bible, that Timothy was timid in his disposition. He was shy. That was his nature.
Still, let's be fair when we're doing comparisons. In comparison to Paul and his former predecessor, Barnabas, anyone would seem timid, don't you think? Paul was a fireball. We know that. And Timothy probably kept his mouth shut much of the time, especially in the early days of the ministry between Paul and Timothy. Either by sheer terror or in total amazement and awe. Timothy was traveling with a former murderer. Saul tried to eliminate as many Christians as possible, and he was even there for the stoning of Stephen. Paul had real zeal for destroying Christians. But now we have zeal going the other direction. We have zeal for wanting to make Christians by Paul. And Paul was a brilliant scholar by all accounts. In contrast, Timothy was very inexperienced. And think about this. Timothy must have had a myriad of emotions. He was honored to be selected by Paul. But he was also very insecure to take on the roles of Barnabas. Timothy was both faithful and fearful. Now, the Apostle Paul recognized the importance of equipping a successor to carry on the gospel message after his life and ministry was over. Specifically, Paul believed that his life was nearing its end, as he stated in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. He says, "As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation or a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And this, we understand, was Paul's final letter. To leave his earthly ministry without establishing a means of continuation would contradict his overarching message to Timothy, which was to be strong in preaching the word, from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. He also encouraged Timothy to discharge all the duties of his ministry, and that comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, thus reminding Timothy to develop his own successor for the future. The Apostle Paul developed a new partnership with Timothy. Now, how did Paul establish this successful partnership? What are some of the most important ingredients of a successful partnership? As we look for new leadership for the future, for our own church, Lincolnshire, what things should we be looking for now to bring about for the future?
This is the structure of the message this morning. Now, last week we did backwards design. We started with chapter 16 and we went backwards and we kept finding the cause. Why did this happen? This week, we are embedding questions as we go along of how does this apply to us as a church? How does this apply to us as individuals? So Paul is throwing out the first question, what do we look for successful partnerships, for leadership within the church? Well, when you think of Timothy, when we look at the scripture, we see that Paul chose someone who the church thought well of and spoke well of. In essence, he had a good reputation. But keep in mind that Paul's reputation was not so good, as we recall, and it took a lot of encouragement on Barnabas' part to bring Paul along. And note what Paul did. He changed the world. He changed the world. So God, as we in a church look for a heart that is seeking God, that is strong, that is faithful, that is always reaching out, taking that next step for a God relationship. Paul found that because Timothy was this kind of man, that he was easily teachable. Timothy was young, but that doesn't mean young folks aren't stubborn, right? Okay? He could have been of a stubborn nature, but he wasn't. He was very malleable, which means easy to mold, easy to work with, one who listened, who took in. And Paul found this to be a benefit, because Paul then benefited from the church that Timothy came from, because then the prayers that covered Timothy from this church as he traveled with Paul also covered Paul. So there was a benefit both ways. So we as a church, we encourage you, and you're going to see, we're going to try to be a Barnabas this morning. We're going to go the encouraging route. And did you notice that Paul encouraged Timothy not to be afraid to be young? Who did he learn all this encouragement from? Barnabas, who he ended up having a major disagreement with. He didn't stop loving each other. They didn't stop caring about one another. They didn't stop their ministry. Keep that in mind. They just went two different ways within the church. They just took two paths. And they both became leaders. It was time for Paul possibly to fly solo and with his own team. So we encourage you as a church, as you look for partners, as you look for someone to work with in the church, that you find someone who is as joyful as Timothy is to work with. We encourage you to look and share with someone who has similar goals in their lives. Ask the Lord to help you find these partners as you grow. Don't think that your spiritual life ever has to be alone. Find someone in the church to connect with.
Secondly, Paul and Timothy's partnership worked well because they complemented one another. Paul was bold, and Timothy was naturally timid, which we read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, which states, "For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God." Both men had spiritual gifts, personalities, and callings that balanced out their strengths and weaknesses. As we look for new leaders, ask the Lord to help us to be able to work in complementary fashion with co-believers in Christ.
It's been exciting for Paul and I as co-pastors to watch you become co-leaders. Think about the number of positions that have opened up recently within the last year, and you've chosen to pair off, and you've chosen not to carry the load alone, but to carry it with a faithful friend. Someone you know will stand beside you. Someone that compliments you. What was so beautiful, a third point about the beauty of the relationship between these two men, between Timothy and Paul, and their working relationship, is they give the capacity to each other to grow into greater service. They didn't minimize each other. They helped each other grow, and they gave each other room to grow. They enhanced each other's abilities by encouraging one another. Thereby, they demonstrated a greater love even for the Lord and the people around them. Now, Timothy was blessed in his upraising. As you recall, his mother was a Jew who became a believer of Christ, and his father was a Gentile. It is Timothy who was trained in the word by his mother and his grandmother. So don't think that women in the church don't teach in Paul's day. In fact, Paul commends Timothy's upbringing, and he encourages Timothy not to forget what his mother and grandmother had taught him. So everyone out there who thought Paul was a woman hater, not so. And we will see that as we go along through the series of Paul. He is very supportive of women. And this is one example. He takes with him a young man who was raised in the faith by his mother and his grandmother, and he honors that every day.
Fifth, Paul and Timothy's partnership showed everyone. I better go back to fourth. Fourth, Paul and Timothy's partnership encouraged the church to follow the pattern of emphasizing childhood instruction that formed the foundations for partnership, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for the salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It comes from 2 Timothy 3:5. Or 3:15. Children are the most teachable and open to being conditioned to work as one's partners. Ask the Lord for great teachers, great parents, and examples to your children so that they can learn the scriptures and know how to become servant leaders.
Now, there was an obvious age discrepancy between Paul and Timothy, obviously. And so we see that Paul not only becomes a mentor to Timothy, but they become so close, Timothy becomes like a son to Paul. It is a precious, harmonious tying of two souls and spirits together. And we know this as brethren. We call each other sisters and brothers, and that's because our bond of love for one another is such that, yes, we have blood relation, but we are brothers and sisters in this church. So the fifth thing that Paul and Timothy's partnership demonstrates is how God can produce unity through diversity. They weren't the same. They were actually quite opposite. But God creates this unity and this diversity. We know that Timothy had something in his favor that God could use. And in Acts 16:1, we were there last week, we saw Timothy's father was Gentile, not a Christian, while his mother was the converted Christian Jew. Timothy knew this is what he had to offer, and this is so important. Timothy knew exactly how resistant Gentiles were to the faith. He knew that because of his own father. He also knew what brought Jews into the faith of Christ because of his mother. Timothy was raised with one foot planted in two different pots. And think about your families. How many families were you, maybe possibly yourself, raised with two opposites, or two different cultures, or two different beliefs? That can be a gift. Too many people curse that. Well, it's the way I was raised, if only blah, 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 right? No. Timothy was raised that way. It was his gift. That's what made him such a powerful partner for Paul was because he understood both camps, opposite camps within his own family, and he understood both. Timothy, down the middle of the road, understood both sides, and that was key to the ministry. In addition, with the different backgrounds, we find that the Spirit, we can't forget the Holy Spirit, right? It's the Spirit that blends the whole ministry together. The Spirit took these diverse backgrounds, and Timothy was able, regardless of his youth, regardless of his diverse background, which could have been black marks to the others, saying, Paul, why are you taking Timothy? Number one, he's a moderate. He's not hot or cold. He's down the middle. Why are you taking him? And he's young. Come on, Paul. He's young. Don't you want someone more experienced? I mean, you can just imagine how this all could have been running around Timothy, how he could have entered this ministry with Paul a little petrified and a little insecure. But the Holy Spirit takes it, and the Holy Spirit uses it. And Timothy provides for us a fresh perspective and skills specifically that he can offer to the team. So here's our lesson, here's our application. When we look for new leaders, we also must ask the Lord to help us to trust him to produce harmonious partnerships out of diversity of backgrounds represented in our fellowship.
6, Paul and Timothy's partnership proved that they are willing to go the extra mile to avoid any scandals. Paul recognized the need for Timothy to relate to his ministerial audience. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 and 20, Paul addresses this need to relate to prospective converts by stating, "For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law." Based on this understanding of the necessity of relating to one's audience, Paul has Timothy circumcised so that he can identify with a greater portion of his audience. A man of 20 being circumcised without anesthesia, that could have been interesting. But Timothy said, "I'll do it." Timothy allowed himself to be circumcised to eliminate any unnecessary offense to Jewish audiences. In preparing Timothy for ministry, Paul made sure that he was equipped for the task. And when looking for leaders, ask the Lord to help you find people who are willing to make sacrifices, and that's the key term, willing to make sacrifices to minimize social barriers for the truth.
A 7th point about Paul and Timothy's partnership, it shows us how an orderly church produces fruitful missionary leaders. Now, we know in education that you need to have a safe and orderly environment or no learning takes place. And folks, you know that's also true with the church. It must be safe and it must be orderly. That's why we follow procedures. It's not because we are dictators. It's because it's what makes ease of transitions. It keeps fireballs from exploding and stepping on landmines. According to Paul's dialogue with Timothy, Timothy was called by God to serve as a minister, as a messenger of the gospel, as we see in 1 Thessalonians. But Paul is also very careful to mention that Timothy has credentials that are important, and he has credentials as a servant of God. And we see this in Philippians 2, verses 19 through 23. So here's our lesson for point 7. It's not enough just to enjoy harmony. I mean, it's nice to have harmony in a church, you know, and to all agree and all be on the same page. I mean, that would be great. But it's not enough just to enjoy harmony unless our church leaders are grounded in Scripture and producing good fruit. I mean, we could all be a party social church, right? We all could agree just to get together and have a good time. It's important that our leaders be grounded in Scripture and produce good fruit. We need to have leaders who are able to extend the church ministry beyond the church doors, into the communities, and into the workplaces.
Eighth, Paul and Timothy's partnership was done voluntarily, not under compulsion. The church did not try to impose their will on these two men, but instead engendered an atmosphere of volunteerism. Through the influence of the Holy Spirit, Paul chose Timothy, and Timothy gladly accepted the call to ministry. We must ask the Lord to help our church encourage people to come forward as servant leaders.
Ninth, and no, they're not 20 points, they're only 10, so we're almost there. Paul and Timothy's partnership maintained a humble, a truthful, and a respectful partnership. You know, we've always told those who are getting married, it's good that you love one another, that's important. But it's essential that you respect one another. How can one say, oh, I love her or I love him, and then treat that spouse with disrespect? We see Paul and Timothy being humble, truthful, and respectful to each other throughout the rest of their lives. It never changes between the two of them. And by our witnessing Paul's devotion to the preaching of the word and his approach to sharing of the gospel, we, as well as Timothy, get to develop an understanding of what the nature of ministry is all about. We must ask the Lord to help our partnership foster lifelong edifying relationships through the sharing of the word, as seen in Acts 18, verse 5.
And tenth and last characteristic trait that Timothy brought to the table was that of sincerity. Paul saw this dedication, no doubt. Timothy was what we would call the real deal. His faith was authentic. In age and personality, Paul and Timothy were opposites. In their fervor and faithfulness, they were, however, the same. It's true, pain birthed this new unit. The separation of Paul and Barnabas was not an easy one, but new teams emerged as a result. And God blessed both teams, both Paul's and Barnabas. As new leadership develops, ask God's blessing, wisdom, and strength to be imparted to new leaders.
So today, we want to do another encouragement. If you are a Timothy, we want you to feel really good about who you are, because you're not being asked to fill the shoes of someone's feet who may be larger than yours. And perhaps that person did precede you, and maybe they had a really large role. But I want you to recognize that God uses you. The size 14 shoe belonged to somebody else. The size 5 shoe may be yours. And you may grow into that 15, 12, who knows what size, maybe you'll even outgrow that. but maybe you won't. Maybe you'll stay a size 5, and that's okay, because God is using you. Timothy wasn't a Barnabas. Timothy was himself. That's all he had to offer. Someone who had a new perspective, who had a new skill set to offer, someone whose youth was strength and not a hindrance. Can you imagine not only how Timothy was encouraged by Paul, but how Paul was encouraged by Timothy? Can you imagine how Paul drew strength from Timothy's fresh vigor and enthusiasm? You know, in many ways, Paul, by this point, was a Moses in the church. And as you recall, even Moses needed someone to hold up his arms during battle so that the fighting could continue. And his brother Aaron was there beside him. Likewise, Timothy became family to Paul, and Timothy holds up the arms of Paul in this ministry. Paul was more than a mentor. And Paul, even as a mentor, never expected Timothy just to be there to carry his scrolls or to help him along a rickety bridge. Timothy wasn't a slave. Timothy was a soul partner. It's a beautiful thing to watch. It's a beautiful thing to watch as we watch divergent age groups partner here in the church and grow strength from one another. You know, as Jesus loved John, so Paul loved and cherished his friendship and his fellowship and his partnership with Timothy.
So how do we apply this message today? Couple ways. Number one, allow yourself to be used by God. That's first. Regardless of your age. Parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, look around you. Who can you mentor, just as Paul did with Timothy? To whom can you impart the words of Joshua chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 9, which stated, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And secondly, everyone, reach across the generational line and seek out someone who, with the touch of your hand, can become a leader or come to love Christ more deeply because of your care. Let's bow our heads for a brief time of reflection before the end of our sermon. God, you know my innermost parts. You know who I am inside. I ask you to either place me before someone that I can more deeply love or pray for, someone to encourage. In return, God, I pray that you will enlarge my heart to receive prayers for my life and for others, to receive their encouragement and to listen to any advice God may place on their hearts. I accept your will in my life, O God. Amen. And did Timothy fill those shoes of Barnabas? I would say he certainly did. And we can see that by the evidence that we have in 2 Philippians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul states, "I have no one like him," meaning Timothy, "who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. All of them are seeking their own interests and not those of Jesus Christ. But Timothy's worth, you know, how like a son with a father. He has served with me in the work of the gospel. Coming from the most highly heralded evangelist in his day, that was certainly mighty praise indeed.
Another major thing that we learn is and we're finalizing this whole Acts 16 part, is we want to encourage you not to be afraid of dissension. We know where the district is right now. We know where a denomination is right now. We know that there's concern. But when we allow ourselves to become afraid, we throw all the emotions to one side and we tend to overreact. We need to be careful that when we see an argument, when we have a disagreement, that we take it to God. First and foremost, take it to God. Be very careful. Be very careful where it goes beyond that. And with God, we need to take this and examine it closely. We need to be careful not to allow Satan a foothold and cause any separations. In Galatians 5:15 warns us of this. Listen to Paul's word to the Galatians. He says, "If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." You know what's interesting is Christ died for our freedom. So what do? When we throw all the emotions to one side and we become angry, we become enslaved to that anger. Have you ever thought about that? When you are angry, think about how your whole body is reacting. We're all tied up, we get all excited, and then we have to watch what comes out of our mouths because we can't trust it. Paul admonishes the Galatians in 5:1. He says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Don't give in again to the wiles of Satan. Place your trust in God's hands. And I love this thought. Remember that what is given to God wholly is taken out of Satan's hands. Think about that. What we give over wholly to God, Satan can't touch. And when we do this, when we hand things over to God, grace has a chance to work. Thus, discord can turn to harmony. If we take this scenario, for example, here's just a very basic example, but in larger churches, I can't tell you how many churches have been split just over the whole issue of music. We want hymns, we want contemporary, we want hymns, we want contemporary. So what have most churches done? You could see that as a problem. You could make a mountain out of a molehill. You could split a church by that dissension. But most churches have decided, okay, let's do a Paul and Barnabas. Let's have a contemporary service and let's have more of a traditional one. They simply take the worship in two different directions because both are right. Neither one is wrong. Neither one is wrong. In Acts 15, both Paul and Barnabas were right. They didn't agree, but they both were right. The separation caused for more leaders to be raised, and the efforts increased, and it was all within the church. In God, all things are possible. Potential evil can be turned on its head. Amen.